Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to be gathered with you today. We do have a wonderful, joyous faith. I hope you feel the joy of your faith this morning as we receive the Lord's gifts, both in word and sacrament together, and that even though life gets tricky and things get challenging, that joy is always there with you, and the Lord continues to bless you with that joy, even amidst trouble, because it's always there. The scriptures tell us that this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So we rejoice together this morning. If you're joining us on the radio, we hope that you can rejoice with us as well. If you're joining us online later, we hope the same for you today and wish you all the Lord's blessings in Christ. Our service begins most appropriately then with the hymn 803, which is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore You. If you're able, please stand on the last verse of the hymn this morning as we sing together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
Only you, there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in his infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty
God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. We sing the Kyrie together.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
The Lord be with you.
and also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for today, the fifth Sunday of Lent, comes from the prophecy of Isaiah in the 43rd chapter. We hear here of the Lord doing a new thing among his people and caring for us and always being faithful to us. We begin in verse 16 of Isaiah 43. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down and they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, and the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson from the third chapter of the book of Philippians. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite the congregation to stand now as we sing the doxology. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them. But they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith together this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. We join now singing together hymn 430. My song is Love Unknown. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. An amazing thing about the Bible is that it really covers everything that has to do with our life. Even some things we wouldn't expect in accounts we wouldn't expect to show up in the Bible. If you know the story of King Eglon in Judges, it's one of those that kind of makes you go, a bathroom account on the pages of the scripture. Interesting. And speaking of that, a precious item to all of us, something we don't usually talk about, and something you definitely don't expect to hear about in a sermon on Sunday morning. This precious item we all have, and we get used to having it. And if it wasn't there, it would make life, well, let's say complicated. Do you know what I'm referring to? Some people call it the commode. Some people say the porcelain throne. The can is one of the titles. If you're British, it's the loo. If you're Australian, it's the dunny. Maybe you've heard it called the latrine. Or if you're on an airplane, I think they call it the lavatory. Yeah, I'm talking about a toilet, okay? In church. Which is weird, huh? Love it. Some people have golden ones. Have you heard about that? Been in the news recently. Golden ones, like made out of gold. Holy smokes. Did you know that a toilet wasn't invented until around the time of Martin Luther? 16th century invention. Yeah? That means people existed on Earth for what, like 5,000-6,000 years before they had one. And like we said before, it's kind of an important item, right? We don't want to talk about it that much. But it's got an important function. My grandpappy used to say, "This generation is weird." When we were back in the day, we would cook inside and use the bathroom outside. But nowadays, people want to use the bathroom inside and cook outside. He was always puzzled by that. The only reason I'm bringing up household bathroom fixtures this morning in church is to make a point. Could you live without it? Would you live without it? Always gets me, right? Like the people who camp in the room are like, "Oh, it's no problem, honestly." But the people who don't like camping, they're like, "Hold on, I'm not sure. I'll have to think about this one." How many of the things we have would we actually be willing to part with for something more important than those things? Did you hear the Apostle Paul in Philippians this morning in chapter 3? He says in verse 8, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ." And we get it. I think all of us get it, right? This is the thing. There's nothing more important in all of the universe, in all of Earth, in all of your life and my life, there's nothing more important than Christ. Nothing. If we go about trying to save our lives, Jesus says we'll lose them. But those who lose their life for my sake, he says, will find it. Nothing more important than Jesus. That's Paul's point. But in the gospel lesson, Jesus tells a parable that shows or demonstrates that that's often not the case. Right? What was more important to those tenants in the parable? Was it the master? Was it even his servants that he sent to them in the vineyard to collect the fruit? Was it the value of human life? Was it the son of the master who came into their vineyard? What was the most important thing to them? It was the vineyard. That even though it was on lease from the master, it still mattered more than anything else. Lease being obviously temporary, right? See, it's not that the scriptures teach us not to have possessions or not to enjoy even modern conveniences and to be thankful for them and to take care of them in service to God. The scriptures don't tell us not to have that stuff. But the point remains. Do we love those things more than Christ? That's the point. If we had to choose between our stuff and our Lord, what would we choose? Really? See, because we've all built pretty nice little vineyards, if you will. Pretty comfy places that we're very used to being and existing. Our own little kingdoms we've built for ourselves. In this reality of life, if we're honest, we have to see too that those things are all leased to you and me. They're all on lease. They're temporary. They're on a lease from God. Every single thing you've got. And so, when his son is sent to us, would we give up the vineyard for his sake or not? To this point, Jesus gives us strict, strict warnings. He says how difficult it is for a person to enter the kingdom of heaven if they're rich. Why does he say that? For this reason right here. This exact reason. Because when it comes down to it, we love our stuff. We love our possessions, our vineyards, our kingdoms, so much more than we can admit. Enough that we just might 100% are doing on purpose choose them. We might choose them above our Lord. Our text this morning makes it clear if we were to choose our vineyard above the Son sent to us, the Son of God, then we're all guilty of his death. Remember in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus. And Jesus tells that rich young ruler, go and sell all your stuff. Give it to the poor and come and follow me. But the text says the man went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had great possession. He didn't want to let go of his stuff. He owned lots of amazing things and conveniences that he wasn't willing to part with for Jesus or anybody else. So do we. Honestly, having some fun with the whole like toilet thing starting the sermon because it's so weird. But the fact that you have that makes you the wealthiest class on earth, just so you know. Me too. So the text asks us the hard question this morning. What's more important? What's your heart stayed on? Really? Really? What is it? Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also. What Paul's teaching us is not that we shouldn't have the things we need, so please don't misunderstand me. But that we should always, always keep the right perspective on those things. Compared to Christ, compared to his eternal kingdoms and the glories that await us, those things are, as Paul said, and I quote, rubbish. Compared to Christ, as he puts it, and being found in him, not having a righteousness of our own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God that depends on faith, compared to that, it's the stuff is rubbish. And we'll see it one day, very clearly with our eyes, that that's the case. So don't be led astray now by the shine and glimmer of the things you love. He's giving us a comparison this morning that we will do well not to forget. That Christ, in being found in him, our salvation, our hope, our joy, none of our stuff is worth getting in the way of that. None of it. That's the stuff that Jesus gives, the stuff he's going to give you this morning in me, that stuff's eternal. That stuff goes on forever and ever into the ages. And when this short life ends, and we don't know when, right? But when it does, we want to hear the beautiful words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou in, and see that the world and all of its stuff around us is literally trying to pull our hearts away from him. It's trying to take you so that you don't hear those words and you don't enter thou in. It wants to ruin you. And it pulls on us all. But we have Christ who went into the world, who willingly, for our sake, took the cross upon himself and died to render those pulls and those strains and those things that come to us that want to destroy our faith and pull us literally out of heaven, to render them powerless to you and to me this morning because of his forgiveness and grace and mercy. Being found in him, not having a righteousness that we built, but a righteousness that he gave us for free. Now that's awesome, good stuff. See, being righteous, being secure in our eternal destiny, knowing who we are in Christ, his children, that doesn't come from us keeping the rules. That comes as a gift that he gave you in your baptism, that he pours out into our own bodies this morning from his own body. That's a righteousness that's not our own, that he's given to us, that he earned for us, that comes by faith. And that means it's Christ's own righteousness that he gives to you and me. So we can rest this day because we know we're forgiven for the times that we have put all of our stuff in front of Jesus. And guard your hearts, friends, because this stuff is powerful. This stuff, when we start talking about it, possessions, money, stuff like that, it's so powerful that it'll literally have a person turn and lash out on their brother or sister in Christ. It'll do it. It'll have somebody that you never thought would be hateful be hateful. It'll do it. Seen it live and in person, I bet you have too. It's powerful stuff. But God forgives us for the times that our hearts have been connected to the stuff instead of him. So right now, know beyond the shadow of a doubt, all your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we start right now new and different and living for Christ, not the stuff. And if you have anything that's more important to you than your Lord Jesus and his ministry of the gospel of forgiveness and his service, two words. Flush it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church this morning. Our response for our prayers is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, your Son spoke the truth before his enemies, even as they sought to trap him in his words and deliver him up to death. Rescue your people from fear. Fear of losing the things that are transient and material. And grant us the courage to always confess the truth. Assure us of our deliverance in times of trouble. Give us patience when we need it. And strength to endure the things that hurt us in this life. For Lord, to suffer with you is the highest honor. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you gave your Son to be rejected by sinners, that we may be welcomed into your kingdom because of him. Preserve your church in this life, won by Christ, crucified and risen. Give faithfulness to the preaching of your word and the administration of your sacraments. And let your people receive these gifts with penitence and faith. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, salvation belongs to you. Your blessing, may it be on your people. Endow parents with every good gift to teach their children your ways, that they may live in the confidence of your grace and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you shield us and lift our heads. Provide for us civil authorities who discourage evil and encourage good. But keep us ever mindful that our hope is in you. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, show your compassion to those who are in need. We name before you from the altar this morning the family of Jeff Gilmore, Jeff Autopolic, Adam and Andrea, Sandy Cody, Bob Phillips, Larry Reinbarger, Susan St. Cyr, Rob Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Lori Hauser, Donna Ford, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jury, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, Audra and Frank Rendon, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, remind those who we've mentioned out loud or in our hearts, and remind all of us continually of your benefits. Forgive all iniquities, heal disease, and crown your people with steadfast love. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, St. Paul counted all things as rubbish in order that he might gain Christ. Lord, give to us repentant hearts, that we would abandon all confidence in our flesh and our stuff, and so receive your Son's body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, help us to count all things as loss except Jesus and him crucified. Draw us to him through word and sacrament, that rejoicing in the righteousness that comes through faith alone in Jesus, we may forget what lies behind us now and press toward the goal. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, in baptism, you have shared Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection with us, that we might be raised from the dead. Preserve us from taking his sacrifice for granted or despising his sacrament. Encourage us to forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead until we attain the resurrection of the dead and hear those wonderful words in our own ears spoken to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou in. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. We come to our time for our offerings this morning. As the offerings are collected and presented, we'll enjoy some instrumental music from our organist. This time we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able and turn over to page 8 in our bulletin for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, hear us as we pray in his name and as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 11 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot.
We've never seen anything like this before.
Former